Hey everyone, KJ here. We are talking writer goals again this week. It's our mid-year review, pandemic style. If you're setting your own goals for the rest of 2020, our sponsor, Author Accelerator, can help you start a new side gig as a book coach or match you with a coach who can help you work through challenges both on the page and in the calendar for getting your current project done. Find out more at authoraccelerator.com/amwriting.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone, trying to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm gonna wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2.
Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing. Hashtag Am Writing is the podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction, essays, pitches, proposals, and as we say every week, this is the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and a forthcoming book about preventing substance abuse in kids called The Addiction Inoculation, and you can find my writing at places like The Atlantic and The New York Times and The Washington Post.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of some romance novels. My most recent USA Today bestseller was Heartland, which came out in early 2020.
And I am KJ Delantonia, the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, which is coming out in June of this year, as well as How to Be a Happier Parent, already long out in hardback, but coming out in paperback this summer. And actually, that's still happening, which I'm pretty pleased about. And the former editor of the Motherload blog at the New York Times, where I am still a reasonably regular contributor. And that's
Yay.
Who we are.
That's who we are.
And where we are is in our houses, which is actually where we all are, but, you know, it bears mentioning, on this, the 9th of May, 2020.
Yeah. Which contributes to our topic today. You want to tell everybody what we want to talk about today, Miss KJ Delantonia?
Oh, sure. So we're gonna revisit our goals. Every year around this time, we like to take a little mid-year review. We usually do it in June, so I guess we're doing it a touch early. But it has occurred to us that perhaps some of our goals are not gonna be the same for the rest of the year. So it seemed like it was a good time to sit down and take a look at what we thought we were going to achieve, what we have achieved, and what we're still hoping to achieve. So we've all got them lined up right here in front of us, and away we go.
Who wants to go first?
I would love to open with...
Oh, please do.
Well, you know, we all are fans of Dan Blank, who has been a guest on this podcast and also has his own terrific podcast as well. And Dan Blank's podcast is called The Creative Shift. The Creative Shift. So he sends out a weekly newsletter that is pure gold, and you should subscribe.
It really is. It's one of the best ones I know of.
Yeah. So two Fridays ago, he sent one out that began with sharing a New Yorker cartoon that really speaks to what it's like to be a writer right now. And it's a picture of a guy in a rowboat in the middle of a choppy body of water. And you can see there's a shark and there's a ship sinking behind him and there's lightning and it's raining. And the caption says, "This is it, the time to finish your novel."
Yeah.
And I love it desperately because, you know, remember back in March when we were all like, hey, what are we going to accomplish while we're stuck at home?
Yeah.
And or how about when the three of us, and I'm so happy we did this, I wouldn't change a thing, but we sat and recorded an episode in December right before our, quote, office party where we go out together for lunch. And we very cheerfully made a list of goals for 2020, not having any clue that 2020 would shape up to be quite unlike most of the other years that we've, you know, sat around planning things together. So I think we should revisit those goals and see what is keepable on here and what have we learned about goal making from our lists.
Well, I think the first, I was going to say the first thing I've learned is to be flexible and to shift and to adjust to your surroundings, because clearly that's the theme of the day.
Yeah.
All right. So what'd you have on there, Miss Serena?
Well, you know, many of my goals could really stand up in terms of getting things, the same things done. Especially where I had goals about helping other people and helping other authors and helping other women. And those things are all still true, and I've been trying to do more of that. But of course, I had some goals about like how much I was going to accomplish in terms of writing. And, you know, I'm not teaching anybody to read right now because my kids are old enough to handle this stuff by themselves. But I didn't account for my own potential anxiety and the difficulties of making career decisions when the whole world seems to be shifting. So the goal I'm having the most trouble with is the one where I was writing an entire book to give to my agent to sell in a new genre for me. And that suddenly feels insurmountable, even though my workday could look the same, because I don't know if that part of publishing is going to be there for me when I'm done. And that's like a mental obstacle to doing that.
You mean the YA genre?
Yeah. Well, just, you know, my unfortunately, I have a lot
of genre
knowledge of economics, and I'm watching businesses fail around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have like a mental block about writing into a publishing world that might not exist when I'm done.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Absolutely.
This is going to be a cheerful episode, isn't it?
Well,
no, there's going to, I promise.
I'm not feeling that uncheerful. I am still plowing. My top number one goal was to finish a book that has now got a different title than it had in my list of goals, but that is fine. Who knows what the title is going to be. But that was my top number one goal, was to finish it and then hopefully, you know, get it out and pitch it to editors. And that is still my top goal, despite the obvious changes in the publishing market. I'm not struggling with that as much, but it's probably because I don't have the alternative that you have. Like, you could put your time into stuff that you can independently publish, and you know you will be there, and readers will be there, and digital book sales will be there. So it's a different, you've got a different choice there.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Serena.
I was just going to say that the fact that most of my publishing is digital is such a blessing, and I just don't mm-hmm. discount it at all. And also my fear about that other project is not entirely rational. You know, but part of me is in that rowboat with the guy in the thunderstorm. And I'm not sure what to do about that, like how to disembark.
Well, it was interesting. Someone asked a question in the hashtag AmWriting Facebook group this week about this question and said, you know, what's everyone doing? Like, are we pitching? Are we querying? Like, are agents picking up new clients, and are people buying books? And so I went ahead and asked our agent, and I said, you know, I don't have to quote you or anything. And she said, hell yes, people are buying. She said she's had a couple of auctions. She said, you can totally quote me that people are buying, people are looking, that things are still chugging along in book sale world. I think a lot of people are scared about releasing right now, which is, you know, really scary and new world sort of situation. But people are still buying books. People are still, you know, picking up new writers. So there was that sort of gut check of, oh, there is some normalcy happening out there. And I don't think, and our agent is not the kind of person to be, to be blithely optimistic. Yeah. She's the kind of person to give it to you like it is. So yeah.
Or even worse than happy, it is. My fiction agent says the same thing. And my editor says she's acquiring. Mm-hmm. people are acquiring. Of course, whether they're like whistling Dixie in a thunderstorm is another question. But yeah, they're trying. They're trying. Everybody wants to keep going, and and you know,
it was a good kick in the pants.
I would like
for
to have
me,
a
though.
Book to sell them. I would very much like to have a book to sell them. But what I am finding is that the speed at which I can complete this is totally different. than it used to be. I just, you know, I just can't, even when I'm sitting down to work, I can't work as fast, both because I think my focus is off and because my house is full of people. People everywhere. Everywhere I look, there's another person. And they eat. They just, they won't stop eating. And drinking,
I'm in that place of...
Not like drinking, but drinking out of glasses. That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm the place of, oh my gosh, dinner really does happen every single day. Like, everyone's on their own for breakfast and lunch, but that dinner thing, that's our sort of reconnect with each other. We're still doing dinner. Dinner's important to us. And because I have, you know, big eaters, they tend to start asking at like 4:45. I'll get these texts. So what's the thought for dinner? So dinner happens every day, shockingly. And that's actually been, if anything, a positive for our family. So having something, you know, to eat in the evening and sit down. And even if it's just like last night, I threw together a soup, it's been a good thing. But it is shocking to me how much they can eat and how much. But on the other hand, like, our grocery bills are freaking me out. But on the other hand, we are not eating out at all. So we don't even do takeout. So there's that, I suppose. But KJ, did you finish? Can I start talking about mine? Because mine are, go in a weird direction.
Did you finish your goals? I didn't. I mean, that's the only goal. But that's kind of the only, the goal of finishing that book is the only one that stays the same.
Okay.
I have essay goals on here, and I am just not, I am not feeling the essays right now, because it feels like the only essays I can write would be about this, and I don't want to write about this. I really don't want, I know a lot of people do. Yeah. I really, 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 really don't. So, I, you know, I had humor on here. I wanted to do some of that. Does it have to be COVID humor? I don't know. I would think that people would be, so there's that. My promotion goals around the Chicken Sisters, the ones that are on here, are still the same, because, podcast goals.
They've definitely shifted.
Yeah. Well, the shift is in how, but I didn't really write how into my goals.
Well, no, I mean, in fact, the real fact for you is that some of the things that you were counting on, some of them anyway, are not happening. Right, exactly.
So, KJ,
But it's not like everybody else is out there hawking their books, you know, face to face, and I'm not. So I am not as bothered by that as I might be, and I suppose, you know, the advantage to it as an introvert who's not a super, well, I'm not really an introvert, but somewhere in there, who's not super into travel, I really wanted to do these things, but not doing them is okay too, in some ways.
Can I just offer another silver lining to this, though, is that it's unbelievable to me how generous other writers are being with each other right now. I know you and I have both bought a bunch of books that we may or may not ever read, just because we're supporting our fellow authors out there. And I think it's a fantastic thing. And I mentioned in another podcast that I'm a new devotee of this long form podcast. And on that, they're talking to a lot of writers right now who are trying to release books during this. And they're talking about the generosity of other authors. So that's been really lovely to see. So hopefully some of that will kick in for you too, KJ.
I think it will. Yeah, I actually feel quite, I feel pretty good, and I'm having a really good time. One thing that I'm having a good time with is that when this all started, someone mentioned to me that the warehouse might not be able to send out advanced copies anymore, and I went, oh, so wait, they're just sitting there? Yep. So would they just put them in a box and send them to me? So they did, and I have all of the remaining, well, you know, there are probably some in the building, which no one is in, but I basically have all the remaining advanced reader copies, and so I'm sending the Goodreads giveaway winner copies, and I'm sending all the Bookstagrammers, and I spent a lot of time sort of going, which would be the very best Bookstagrammers, and last week I was just like, you know, I'm just going to send these to the Bookstagrammers that I follow and that follow me and that are sort of, you know, in my realm, in my universe, and that'll be happy and excited to get it. And I've been doing that, and it feels really fun. So that's entertaining.
that's a very cool thing. Plus, you know, there's the whole decorating of them. But Serena, you had something you wanted to mention to KJ.
I did, because when she was talking about essays, it made me realize that how much of the news I'm reading is all focused on the same thing. So that means that relevancy is suddenly like a little bit of a wrench in our goals, because you could still write essays, you still have the time and you still have the voice, but the relevancy of the things that you were probably going to work on is just gone. And I'm struggling with some relevancy too. It takes a whole lot of optimism to write romance, and you know, I'm a little bit stuck on that. And even just literally, I looked at the epilogue of one of my hockey books, and I had my team winning the cup in June of 2020. And guess what? There isn't even going to be a cup in June of 2020. And it never occurred to me. Like, I try not to paint myself into a corner. I do it all the time anyway. But it never in my wildest dreams occurred to me that there would not be a champion.
Yeah. It takes an extra layer of imagination too. I mean, you're already constructing new worlds for your books, and now suddenly you're having to like construct a whole world for your own world so that you can construct those. I mean, you have to have a certain level of optimism. You have to have a certain level of ability to envision a world in which your characters are not going through this not touching each other thing. And that, I mean, look at that. You are trying to write about people who are so much touching each other in a world where no one's allowed to touch each other. I mean, it's a really weird thing.
It is. And I saw a really funny tweet from a narrator who was doing a book, and he, without naming the book, said, you know, this book really confused me. I was telling my friend, because it, not a lot happens. There's not a lot of conflict. They go to IKEA and buy some furniture, and I was just waiting for the conflict. And the friend said to this narrator, dude, what you just described is like science fiction at this point.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about the fact that, so I actually did finish the edits on my manuscript. That was my number one goal, finish the edits on the manuscript. And there was some, you know, it wasn't anything like Gift of Failure, but there was still some heavy lifting to do. And I got them done. I'm looking at the date, actually. I got them done well before the date that I was hoping to get them done by. And the reason I know, that was really exciting. But the reason I wanted to get them done by that date was that I wanted to have a new proposal, or at least, you know, the shortened version to show my agent, because she has no idea still what I'm thinking about. And I wanted to have that to her by April 15th. And of course, that was smack in the middle of just trying to wrap my head around all of this stuff. And, you know, for me also personally, it's been anxiety provoking. Like, I can sit here in my house in the woods. I was telling my husband, this is a really weird paradoxical thing. I don't go out very often, obviously. But when I do go out, I get pretty depressed because here in my home, I can ignore it and I can kind of forget about it for short periods of time. But going out in the world has been just scary and weird. And anyway, so the worst of this stuff has come right at a time when I was hoping to get a new proposal done. And so what I've decided to do is give myself a break. And I'm doing a lot of my research through audio. And while I'm listening, I keep a notebook near me, but I am outside, because for the first time since I started a speaking career that runs on an academic schedule, I've never been home in time to get gardens ready for the really good gardens ready for the growing season. And I definitely never got gardens in my new house. And it's, you know, I've always felt a little adrift without my gardens. So I've been giving myself a big fat break, and I leave the house as soon as I'm done with my stuff in the morning, and I go outside, and I don't come in until I have to get that infernal daily dinner thing going again. And it's been, I walk in at the end of the day and I look at my husband and I say, I am just so happy outside. And the other thing was, because of all this anxiety, I wasn't sleeping very well, and just exhausting myself during the day outside and just being sore and tired and drained has been much better for my sleep. So I'm giving myself a big fat break right now in terms of the writing part. Definitely still researching, loving listening to all the audio, but giving myself a big fat break. Thinking of it as a little vacation has been really important to me. And I have gardens now. I have the bare bones gardens down, and it's makes me so happy. And I finally feel like this house is mine again. You know, it finally is a place where Yay. I live, and that's been fantastic. So yeah. And then the rest of my goals were things like, so finish the edits, got those done on time, finish the new proposal, totally didn't happen on time, but that was my own internal schedule. It's okay. And then back with you on the essay thing, because I had complete 5 essays for collection by the end of the year. I've definitely thought about them, but I have not. And for me, that's a big thing, because I do a lot of the thinking, the writing internally first, and then I just sort of get it down. But yeah, I can't, I'm not writing about COVID, and these essays are about things that are so unrelated to that, and so it's just been close to impossible to get that essay writing done. But I'm feeling better now, and I feel like that's going to come back online really soon. Our friend Mary Laura Philpott has sold a new essay collection, and I happen to know that she's trying to get down to work on that, and so, you know, I'm sort of mentally trying to partner with Mary Laura and be thinking about those essays. Spanish was a big one, and I haven't done that. I just absolutely 100% failed at that. We had some goals around Spanish that were going to culminate with some big Spanish speaking, you know, for a trip that got canceled. So that
I think we're supposed to be in Spain, or no, in Mexico. Not right. No, next. No, we're supposed to be in California right now. But in 2 weeks, we were supposed to be in Mexico working on our Spanish, and we will not be.
Well, and now my thoughts have shifted also to things like, you know, this, I'm starting to freak out about some of the spring speaking events, you know, a big source of my anxiety around an inability to stay focused for a few minutes at a time has to do with money stuff, because my income, not my non-writing income, you know, went poof, and that's the majority of my income. So that's been challenging. And in, you know, my husband works for a hospital that just announced that all of the top level people will all take pay cuts. And so my husband's taking a pay cut in the midst of this as well. And then if anyone's been following my social media, they know we just spent the equivalent of a small used car on our dog who almost died. So it's just, that's a stressful thing too. And yet we're so fortunate, you know, we don't have to, I'm not scared about paying our rent, but I am just anxious. So being outside has been, you know, if I had to rewrite my goals now, it would be do more of what's making me feel really good right now. And that's making me feel really good right now. So.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. Are we going to rewrite our goals?
Oh, that is a good question.
I think it might be worth sitting down and doing, because one of the other reasons that some of this stuff happens, hasn't it? You know, I've got some goals here around the podcast and the email list and marketing with other podcasts. There's no reason I can't do those things other than that I've got about 3 hours of brain power in me every day, and I use it up on writing the book, and then I have so much less steam than I used to have. I don't know. I guess it's the anxiety. I guess it's that. But, you know, I used to be able to sort of write in the morning and then go back to do all the other stuff in the afternoon. And And it's all the household stuff. It's all the stuff. In any case, and some of these are just, like we were saying, I just don't necessarily want to focus on.
Okay, well then I'm going to put a line
I'm
putting a line through the Spanish one. I'm letting myself off the hook for that. You know what? I was just looking at number 5, which was one email a month for my email list, and my email list has gone up a lot this year because of some high visibility podcasting I've done. But I'm really glad we're doing this today, because that is a good kick in the pants for me. But you know what I've done that's been also really wonderful? I think I'm just missing teaching so much that I've been doing this thing on Twitter where I teach about rhetorical devices, and I do a long thread, And you could see the smile on my face while I'm doing them. It makes me so happy. I'm like pulling all these books off the shelves and it's teaching and I'm having so much fun. So I'm going to keep doing that. And doing more of that, I think would be really super fun for me. So I may even stick that in instead.
That is so funny because I said one of the things we could talk about today is changing our approach to social mm-hmm. media. And you said, I didn't change anything. That's true. I was like, yes, you did. That's what I was thinking of.
That's funny.
We're filling in some gaps of things that we used to do in real life, with social media. And I feel like that is one for you.
That's
true. Even if you could or wanted a new teaching job, you certainly couldn't get it now. So you have found that. I've been connecting a lot more on Instagram. I've been going back into Twitter, which I had been out of for literally years, trying to find ways to use Facebook that don't involve getting sucked in. And actually, I'm on Instagram way too much. I need to stop. But also feeling like it really is providing a connection and a place to talk about books and things that mm-hmm. are important to me, with the kind of these are the conversations I might normally be having, like, at a hockey game or, in line at the grocery store or at the bookstore over coffee or whatever. And now they're taking place online in different ways. So that was what I was thinking of, but I was also thinking about you. How about you, Serena? Have you changed their social media at all?
Well, but it's not all sunny around here. I've had to take some breaks, some, like, multi-day breaks from social media just because it feeds my anxiety. Mm-hmm. When I can see people sort of emoting about the same things that I'm worried about, that, I have to walk away because sometimes it just amplifies, all the things I'm worried about. So I think taking some steps back has really helped me. And plus, I don't want to amplify my own, I feel very brittle right now, and I don't really want to be brittle on social media, so I've just had to sort of back away.
Mm. It's funny you say that, because now thinking back, just about every time you text that you're freaking out about something, it's because you saw something on social media that just triggered you. So I think that's fantastic.
I've also had to stop visiting. I mean, I'm more caught up on news right now than I've ever been in my entire life, but it's not such a great thing, because the reason I can't walk away from WashPo and the New York Times is that I'm looking for someone to tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And of course they can't really do that. But that's why I keep going back. So I've had to kind of step away from that too. Not because news is bad, but because it can't serve what I'm really searching for.
Didn't you say there was a search that you were looking, you were on Google for something and you realized that there was a commonly searched for question on Google, which was what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't know that Google knows. I don't think Google can even do that.
I love to see what other people are searching on Google, and I will stop and screenshot them if they are particularly, wonderful.
Oh, can I tell you something really cool? At Google headquarters in California, I got to speak there after Gift of Failure came out, and they took me through and I got a really cool tour. And one of the things they have is a staircase. And on the riser for each step of the staircase are the most Googled things. So you can watch in real time on this staircase as all the things that people are Googling changes. And it was really cool. While I was there looking at other stuff,
that
it was
is
really,
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. They also have this room you can stand in.
Wow.
And it screens all around you, like floor-to-ceiling screens all around you. And you can enter any search term you want. It could be you, for example. So I entered Jessica Leahy to see sort of what the world sees when they look at me across all platforms. And it allows you to see, like, does your website match up? Do you have like a brand that looks, that has unifying themes, blah, blah, blah. And it was just really interesting to see how, does my website match up with what's going on Twitter and what's going on, all these different platforms. It was really kind of cool. That was kind of fun. But I'm sorry, I totally took things off the rails because you were talking about what's going to happen and not no one being able to tell you that.
Yep, and they still can't, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, what has been interesting is from, and I know you're looking a lot of this through an economic lens because that's who you are, but my son is studying economics and all of this is such, can you imagine? This is when my kid is getting his introduction to the world of economics. Like, this is such a weird and bizarre time. And he has a summer job that is, and I don't think I'm allowed to say where it is yet because I don't think anything's been signed, but it's at the epicenter of like what's going on economically. And so we've been talking about it a lot, but from a very academic perspective, which has been, I don't know, interesting. I guess it gives me it allows me to sort of set it over there and have a bit of a reserve around it. But I mean, it's not like it's good news. It's just academic instead of about like our personal economic situation. Can I interject one tiny thing? Can you all look at your word? I have them all in front of me right now. How are you feeling about your words?
I don't even remember. I have them. I found my word.
I still like my word.
I hate my word.
Okay, well, my word was practice, and I'm actually still feeling good about that because it's a good reminder to me that it's not about having these huge breakthroughs. It's about the daily practice of either thinking about structuring, blah, blah, blah. So I'm still happy with that. Serena, your word was, do you remember?
Abundance.
Yeah, how are you feeling about that?
Well, honestly, I should still tape it up into every room I walk through because the truth is,
yes,
it's pretty abundant around here. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ebooks are still performing. My life is fine. It's just a little more anxious than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah.
And my word was magic. And I'm not feeling very magical right now. Although that is just maybe, that is honestly, I am up and down every day. Mm-hmm. So there is, I don't want to be Pollyanna about this. I would, you know, nobody is happy about what is happening, but it is, I suppose, a little magical that my family has not killed each other in the 67 days, I think, that we have been, you know, largely cooped up together. That is kind of magical. And I was thinking that I might put some magic in a next book draft, you know, after this one. I don't know. Maybe that will happen.
Okay.
I'm just not... Magic did not turn out to be a super helpful word for this time.
Maybe magical thinking, I believe it, I will make it so.
I was totally thinking, but the magical thinking is more like, oh, if I'm just in here and everything seems to be the same, it probably really is the same. Yeah. It's different. It's not the good kind of magical thinking. It's the other kind of magical thinking.
Okay, well, speaking of magical thinking and inhabiting fantasy lands that don't exist, should we talk a little bit about what we've been reading?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Who wants, Serena, you want to lead off again since you went first last time?
Well, I'm reading something that KJ gave me. The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires by Grady Hendrix.
That's such a good title.
This was a book that I spotted before KJ bought it, and I thought, I'm just happy that book exists.
Yeah.
And yep.
It's fun.
The writing is terrific.
But serious. It's a really good book.
His writing game is super strong from the first paragraph of the prologue, and I am intrigued.
Oh, good. Cool. What about you, KJ?
Well, I'm reading a book Serena gave me. I am reading Undercover Bromance by Lissa K. Actually, I finished it. Lissa K. Adams. We need to book club on this one, Serena. We need to have a discussion. But it is, you know, like her previous book in this series, The Bromance Book Club. It is fun, satisfying, fast-paced, and distracting. And that's about everything I ask of a book right now. And I also am reading The Body in the Garden by Catherine Shellman. This is a historical mystery, and I have not read very much in the mystery genre for many, many years, and it's kind of fun to see that in the same way that historical romances have taken a real turn for having a modern way of thinking within the historical romance as opposed to trying to keep people thinking as they might have in the time, this mystery also sort of falls into that category as has very, you know, a modern attitude within historical time and space, and that makes it fun. And that's by Catherine Shellman, So, you know, again, fun, distracting, light, just what we need.
Yeah, I have a book I want to talk about today because there's something really interesting in it, and it's not something that you guys normally read. There's two things. Number one, for the audio listeners out there, David Sedaris released an Audible original. It's really not, it's not a huge deal. Don't get too excited. It's only 35 minutes. It's only 30 minutes long. It's called Themes and Variations, but it's essentially him just riffing about the people he talks to on book tour and the things they talk about. And it was like $1.89 or something like that. But I got so excited when I saw it, and I've already listened to it three times just because I needed a little David Sedaris back in my life. But the thing I went and listened to is I saw that there was a new Stephen King coming out, and a former guest on our podcast who published a book about, oh my gosh, I should never ever lead off when I'm not entirely sure I have it in the middle. Ruth, who wrote the book about, this is how bad my mind is right now. Ruth, who wrote the book about the author that we both love, who wrote the Shirley Jackson thing, and I'll look up Ruth Franklin. She wrote the review of Stephen King's new book in the New York Times, and it's a wonderful review. She's such a great writer. And so I was like, okay, well, if she has nice things to say, I'll get it. And it's a collection of novellas and short stories. And I'm not going to talk about all of them. I want to talk about just one. And there's one called The Rat. And I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but if you are a writer who has ever felt blocked in your writing, this book, this story is a truly delightful, dark, dastardly view into the writer's head when they're trying to wrestle with their demons and why they can't get the words on the page. And I was working out in the woods while I was listening to it, and there was a giant smile on my face. I was cackling. I'm like, this is so mean. And it's similar to when he talks about, like, you know, when he channels a writer in misery, when anytime he's ever talked about sort of what it's like for him to write and to go through that trapdoor into his basement, and all of that good stuff is in there, all of that stuff from On Writing that we love so much about his reading about his process, that's all in there, channeled through this writer in this story called The Rat. And it's delightful. It really truly is. It would be worth getting the book if you can afford to do it. It would be worth getting the book just to listen to this story. Really quite
cool. Wow. Good.
Yeah. I mean, and I've also been comfort listening, and I was scrolling through my Audible, my audiobooks that I've been listening to, and they've all been books about sort of overcoming hardship, because I realized I re-listened to Jenny Finney Boylan's She's Not There, and I re-listened to Diana Nyad's Find a Way, which is about swimming from Florida to Cuba. So I guess I've been in a place where I've been, you know, like, yay, people who triumph, I need more of that. And that's been fun.
I think you're the only person who's still listening. I mean, I know that audio, yeah. Well, audio has dropped because nobody's in their cars. Mm-hmm. Nobody is commuting.
Yeah.
I did so much of my listening, although mine is primarily podcasts, on long car rides. And I don't even take short car rides anymore. I'm not even sure my car will start. So it's, that's hugely different for most of us, but you're still in the garden.
I'm still in the garden.
So you're still out there with it. And I think, yeah, maybe I ought to try to take some. Maybe I'll take a walk with David Sedaris.
That's a great idea. I actually,
if it'll stop snowing.
I know, it's crazy. I actually found out, I tweeted about this yesterday. It was quite delightful. I was using the chainsaw to cut up a whole bunch of wood that we're either using for firewood or using for other stuff. And I realized that if you put music on really loud through my headphones, the noise canceling ones I use to dampen the sound from the chainsaw, that you can sing as loud as you want out in the middle of the woods and nobody can hear you when the chainsaw is running. So I have been going to town. I've been singing in the woods. It's been great. It's been really fun. So if you're in Vermont and you hear a crazy woman singing out in the woods, that would be me.
With a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw. That's, yeah, that might be, is that later in the Stephen King novella?
Well, and with my headphones that look really weird because they're my really nice, expensive noise-canceling headphones I use for this, and I'm wearing them right now, but I put them on the roof of my car, and then my son took off to go play basketball and didn't look, and they flew off the roof of the car and got run over by another car. And so they're being held together with hot glue and some faux leather pleather stuff that my kid had in his like making stuff boxes downstairs. So they're really crazy looking. So I'm sure I look like a crazy person out there in the woods. But all right. Well, I'm glad we did this because I actually feel really, I feel refocused in a couple of different ways. And I feel good about drawing a line through one of my goals and just saying, nope, bye-bye.
I feel better just for talking to you guys.
I always do. Aw, yay.
I always do. All right, anyone want to say anything before we're done? Because I think we're just about done.
I think we're done. And guess what, Jess? It's time to make dinner again.
I know, I was just realizing that. Except we put pizza dough out to thaw earlier this afternoon, and I managed to turn on the oven to get the pizza stone nice and hot. So I'm ready to go start constructing pizzas.
All right, you better take us out then.
All right. Until next week, everyone. By the way, go check out the hashtag AmWriting Facebook group if you want some interesting reading about how other writers are handling this time, because that's what really most of the conversation is about right now. Like, how do you handle stuff? Are people still pitching here? What do you think about this? It's a really reassuring and supportive place to be. But until next time, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Save, pause, stop.
Thank you.